Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning, and what a tremendous blessing that has been. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 1. That's the books of 1 and 2 Kings and the 1 and 2 Chronicles, Old Testament. 2 Chronicles in chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse 7 down to verse 12 as we look to this passage of scripture where Solomon is now become the king of Israel and he cries out to God. So go ahead and stand with me if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. All of you still watching by live stream, I trust that you are standing and you're going to be reading with us and sing along with us, and you just make sure that you feel a part of the services as well. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7, as I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And God said unto Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you now. And again, Lord God, we thank you for just being who you are. And thank you, God, for having a plan and a design in all things. And as your people, we just thank you for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together today. And I just pray, God, that once again that you would meet with us in a very special way. And I pray, God, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. 2 weeks ago, I presented something that God laid upon my heart. I thought that no doubt as a church family we needed in order to have spiritual help. It's the spiritual help that allows us to continue to make the right spiritual decisions. It's the spiritual help that's available that helps us through the trials that we have to face. And there's certain things we can do to be able to have that spiritual help. And I gave 5 of 10 things that the Bible teaches us to do on a regular daily basis, every day. And this morning I'm going to give you the other 5 that make up the 10. And when you think of 10 things, I don't want you to think it to be impossible to remember these 10 things all the time, because as you'll study and as you'll understand, once you've learned them and you're aware of them as a Christian, they somewhat become second nature, and you're doing it without even realizing that you're doing it. I think of how we prepare to leave the house. We've been doing it for some time, possibly, and you don't realize how many things you do. You just do them. First thing we do in the morning is we got to get out of bed. Now that just comes natural when you wake up, because you're awake and you're supposed to get out of bed. But that is a step. That is something that you have to do to begin the new day. Most people will wash to some extent. Some maybe wash before you go to bed, and whatever it might be, that's, I'm not going to get into personal hygiene, but the idea there is you want to go into the bathroom, you wash, you might put some clothes on. After that, you would definitely want to take time to brush your teeth. If you're a man, you want to take time to shave or not. Trying to keep ourselves looking right during this time, even haircuts. I've been cutting my own hair, and so I don't know if anybody's noticed that or not. I know other people, likewise, haven't been able to go to the barber, haven't been able to go to the beauty parlor, whatever it might take. But that's something that you'll look in the mirror, and you realize that something needs to be done there. And you do what you have to do. You want to make sure that you put on some shoes. Before you put on your shoes, you got to put on socks. You might think about eating something. Some people do, some people don't. Most everybody wants at least a cup of coffee. That has to be part of the daily routine. Just eating something, you go ahead and you fix your hair. You maybe take meds. That's just something that as you get older, it becomes just a reality, and you have to take whatever meds that you need. Now, if you have, that's 10 things right there. And you don't even realize you've already accomplished. You've already done 10 things before you even leave the house. If you have kids, you can add another 10 things to that before you leave the house. But the idea there is you don't actually have a checklist, because it's become second nature. It's just something that we do. Can I tell you, you need to understand the Christian life, the spiritual life. And what the Bible says is things that we need to do on a regular daily basis. And once you learn those things and you start applying those things, before you know it, it's just what you do throughout the day, in the morning, before you go to bed at night. And so the first five is what I gave you a couple weeks ago for spiritual help, is just think about God. A meditation on the reality of God daily. Study to receive something from the Word of God. I mean, not just to read it. Reading is important, but look to get something out of it. Something. Ask God to speak to you through it. Pray. Yeah. Praise. That, just thanking God and praising Him for something. There's so much there. And then the last one, the fifth one, was we need to die to self. Well, selfishness, selfish mindset through the day will just take you away from a spiritual influence and spiritual life. You have to die to the old nature and be aware of the new nature. The next thing, and we go back to our text here this morning, and Solomon, verse 10, after God told Solomon, you can ask whatever. What do you want me to do for you? As the king of Israel. And Solomon in verse 10 says, give me now wisdom and knowledge. Solomon knew that he would need wisdom and knowledge to be able to do the work that God had called him to do. To be able to live the life that God had for him to live. To accomplish the things that God wanted him to accomplish. Solomon understood that the most important thing in his life was to look to God for wisdom and knowledge. Can I tell you the sixth thing that I want to present to you that we need to do on a daily basis in order to have the spiritual help? We need to look to God for daily bread. Sometimes we get confused about what daily bread is. Jesus, in teaching people, his disciples, to pray and gave them the model prayer, he says in Matthew 6:11, "Give us this day, every day, our daily bread." What Solomon realized that he needed on a regular daily basis as the next king of Israel was wisdom and knowledge as his daily bread. In verse 11, we find that God then responds, and God said unto Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart." This is something that we need to have in our hearts. If we're being aware of God and we're aware of there's a spiritual life to live, every day we have decisions to make, and every day we need to make the spiritually right decision. And so we have spiritual lives to live. We need to have the influence of God to make the right decisions and to get through whatever it is we have to get through on a regular basis. And in our hearts, we ought to understand, I need godly wisdom. Amen. On a daily basis. In James chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6, the Bible reveals to us that spiritual wisdom is available. But you have to ask. You have to ask, believing that it's something that God wants to give you. And it's got to be in your heart to ask it. Once you learn this, and every day for the Christian life, I realize I need, God, give me the wisdom I need. Direct me through this day. Give me the knowledge to make the right decisions and to go the right way, so I might accomplish what you have for me to accomplish in this day. Basically, that's what Solomon was doing. He understood. He could have asked for all those things that is listed here: riches, wealth, honor, victory over his enemies, or long life. Just a few of the things that God reveals that in the heart of most people. But in Solomon's heart was wisdom and knowledge. And because that's what Solomon asked for, then God would say to Solomon, because this was in your heart, I'm going to give you all these other things. But let God give you those as he chooses. Making the right decisions every day, accomplishing what God has us to accomplish in that day, ought to be in our heart. Daily, asking for daily bread. The seventh thing that we will become automatic once you learn it and you start applying it and you understand that it helps you through the day. Hebrews in chapter 3. Book of Hebrews in chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13, the Bible says this: "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." There's temptations every day that we live to turn away from God, to turn away from Christianity, to turn away from doing the right things. And so he warns of that, but then he says in verse 13, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." If we're going to avoid what he's saying there in verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God," to turning away from the Christian life, from turning away from making the wise decisions and doing the right things on a regular basis. He said this is something that needs to be part of your daily life. to exhort. To exhort someone daily. That word exhort means to excite or to give strength. To exhort is a positive that's needed in negative times. One of the things that we're going through right now, I mean, there's a lot of negative things around us, and we're trying to decide and understand what is happening, and is there ever going to be an end to it, and on and on and on. And every day, there's a lot, so many negative things. And God says, make sure that every day you have a positive, that you're accomplishing a positive. And one of the ways we can do that is look to exhort someone. Look to bring a blessing. Look to, if you will, to excite or strengthen, to give strength. It's just a better feeling to be able to exhort than to rebuke. I mean, there's times we need to rebuke, and there's times we need to tough love. There's all those times, if you're raising children, you have to use some tough love. You have to discipline, you have to rebuke, and you have to set things straight. And sometimes, even in relationships, there's times that we need to rebuke wrong behavior and rebuke certain things. But can I tell you that there's a greater blessing in exhorting. If we would have a mindset, I am going to be aware of opportunities that God brings into my life on a daily basis to be an encourager, to be exhorting one another, to be able to help somebody instead of being that last straw. Being that last thing to set somebody off to the going a different direction and discouragement. Let me be the one to help you to make the best of that situation. Let me be the one to lift you up. Let me be the one to exhort you in a way that you can continue to live for the Lord. Especially when it comes to the household of God. Especially when we're going through some of the very most difficult times that I can remember for the church and for Christianity in our lifetime. Exhort someone daily. Be mindful of your ability in Christ to exhort. What a blessing. The number eight thing, Luke chapter 9. These are things that, again, we get these, we learn these, and we start, you might have to have a checklist to start with. Nothing wrong with that. Put those 10 things down and have a checklist, but they will become part of just who you are. They'll become part of your Christian life. Luke in chapter 9, verse 23. And he said, Jesus said to them all, his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. We already studied that idea of dying daily, denying himself. But I want you to see this. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross would be Jesus helping them to realize they all would have a cross to bear. Jesus looked to his cross, the cross of Calvary. Jesus looked to his cross, which started by his willingness to come to this earth. And as God the Son put himself in the weakness of a human body, That was part of his cross. The weakness of his human body, and then to live a life without sin, and then to lay down his life on Calvary's cross and there be crucified, suffer and bleed and die so that he might resurrect. Jesus looked to his cross as something that would enable him to accomplish his work, God's call upon his life. And can I tell you, if you're saved here this morning, you will have a cross to bear. Every believer will have, if you will, his crosses. In your life, I believe that many will have more than one. I believe that God, as I look back over my life, I believe that I had a cross to bear, and I know what it was back in the beginning in my ministry. And I believe that God has used crosses for me to bear to allow me to be where I'm at today. And I believe there'll be continue to be crosses that I'll have to bear in my life to fulfill and to accomplish everything that God has me here to accomplish. I don't understand. I don't really know what they might be, but I know that Jesus looked to his cross as something that would enable him to accomplish his work. In the book of John in chapter 9, verse 3, you don't have to turn there, but there was a man there who was born blind. And the disciples said, well, who sinned for this man to be born blind? And Jesus said, no, this was a temporary cross for this man. He had nothing to do with it. It was God who allowed him to be born blind for this very purpose on this very day so that I could be here and heal him. It was his cross until I was able to heal him. And now that cross is no longer there for him to bear. That's a temporary cross. You look back over your life, you might have seen things that you had no control over and that God brought into your life. It could have been the loss of a loved one. It could have been a disease. It could have been an illness. It could have been whatever. And God has brought that, but it allowed you to become the person you are. It allowed God to use that to allow you to accomplish something at that point in your life that you never would have accomplished if it had not been a cross. The cross that God determined for you to bear so that you would be able to accomplish whatever it would be that he would work through that cross. It might be that that cross is something that you'll take with you for the rest of your life. And instead of getting so upset over it, realizing it could be the only thing that would enable me to accomplish God's will for my life. Such as the Apostle Paul. If we'd had time, we'd look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 7. And Paul said, God allowed me to have this thorn in the flesh, if you will, to keep me in my mindset humble before the Lord, to allow me to be the man that God wanted me to be and to accomplish what God had for me to accomplish. If Paul would not have had the thorn in the flesh, Paul would not have been able to accomplish what God had him here to accomplish. Paul understood that. And so Paul came to the realization that it was through this cross that God would use to enable him to accomplish it. And he says, I'm going to rejoice in it. What a different way of looking at it on a daily basis. I don't know. Only God understands what he might bring into our life. Only God knows whether it's temporary or whether it's permanent. But whatever it is, He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Yeah. Wow. It might just be every day I have to be aware of something that could be a negative if I allowed it. That Satan could use it to get me to turn away from God as that thorn in the flesh. But we chose, and like Paul, we choose to see it as my cross, enabling me to accomplishing God's will. Yeah. Number 9, Psalms chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61, the psalmist writes here, we're going to read verse 5 and then verse 8. The psalmist writes, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Verse 8. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Something we have to be aware of every day of our lives. The vows are promises, and promises are to be kept, especially those made to God. In your lifetime, have you ever made a vow to God? Maybe a vow when you got saved that, God, because of what you've done to me, I promise I'll live for you for the rest of my life. Might have been you were sick and you said, God, if you heal me of this, then I will serve you for the rest of my life. I remember as an 11-year-old boy, I had been out and doing some things I shouldn't have been doing with a group of boys I shouldn't have been with, and we were sneaking out and smoking cigarettes, and there was a person there that gave us a cigarette to smoke, and it had something in it. It was laced with something. I didn't realize it at the time, but I got as sick as a dog. I mean, I was just, and I remember thinking, somehow I've got to get back to my house and get up to my bedroom without Dad catching me. And it might seem funny to some, but I remember looking up to God and saying, God, I'm sorry that I've done this. But if you allow me to get back to my bedroom without my dad finding this out, I'll never touch another cigarette in my life. You know, I got back to my house, got up to my bedroom. My parents never did find out about it, but I remembered that vow. I'd never touched another cigarette in my life. God used that situation and the vow that I made to him to keep me from smoking cigarettes and possibly having lung cancer. Who knows where that would have led me? But I remembered that vow. And every time I was tempted to smoke a cigarette or be around those, the conviction and the remembrance of that vow. It's been a part of my life. The Bible says this over in the book concerning vows, Ecclesiastes in chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Let me just read this to you. But Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. God says, if you vowed a vow to God and now you have tried to renege from that promise and you have tried to get out of that, you're a fool. Pray, pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. In your life, have you made a vow? Have you turned away from a vow that you've made to God? I believe in making vows. I believe in making promises. Whenever I perform a wedding, I always require the groom to make a vow to his bride and the bride to make a vow to her husband or her groom before they make vows to each other. They are to make a vow to God that says, I will live with my spouse according to the words of God. A vow made to God should not be broken. Every day in my life is I have to be aware, have I made a vow to God that somehow, some way I'm trying to get out of? I'm trying to block it out of my mind and I'm going a different direction. Listen to me. Being aware of a promise, being aware of a vow that you made to God on a daily basis will keep you with that spiritual help to make the right decisions. Especially when it comes to your marriage, family, and your God. So be aware of it. Is there a vow that I made to God that I'm not keeping? Keep your vows. Make your vows. And then keep your vows daily. The last thing, Acts chapter 4. Trust this is helping you. This is good stuff that every day, if we're just aware of these things, and it will become part of a mature Christian's life without even realizing it. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. This is the disciples during the apostolic age when there was so much persecution. They had been persecuted for taking the stands and for preaching Christ. And the Bible says, even though they had to face the persecution, Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The number 10 thing to do on a daily basis for spiritual help: be ready to present Jesus every day. Be ready to present Jesus any and every day. The Bible says in the book of Acts in chapter 1, the last words that Jesus spoke to the disciples before he would ascend into glory, he said this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The very last words that they would hear him say to them, be witnesses. Be witnesses. You see, if we are mindful of this, we will be mindful of the importance of our personal testimony every day. Because we never know when God's going to bring somebody into our paths that he wants us to witness to. And when you're aware of the most important thing that I have in this life is my testimony for Christ, I don't want to blow that. I don't want to ruin that to where I cannot witness to this individual. And sometimes I realize that because I am to be a testimony, willing to witness for Christ and preach Jesus, I'm going to walk away from this negative situation without losing my testimony. If I'm not aware of my testimony, I might go ahead and stand up for myself and stand up for what I think is right. Whether right or wrong, I'm going to stand up and have a conflict with somebody, when if I'm aware of my testimony, I mightn't turn away from a conflict so that I might retain a testimony. My testimony is more important than my pride. My testimony is more important than winning. Are we mindful of the importance of our testimonies so that we might be able to preach Jesus every day? Wow. What a tremendous help it would be to us if we had this kind of spiritual influence in our lives. In order to have this kind of spiritual influence in our life, we must needs do and apply these things every day. Every day. If I could have ever head bowed this morning. You see, these things will provide the spiritual help that we need every day to make spiritual decisions and to go in the direction that God would have us to go in, so that we might accomplish every day the things that we can accomplish in that day. Are we doing these things? Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your word, the Bible, the opportunity to assemble ourselves together and to hear the word of God presented. And I trust, God, that you would take this that we have presented and help each one to make application, to be aware of things that we are to do every day. Now, I pray, God, as we give in this invitation, you know exactly just how you have spoken to everyone. And I pray, God, that we all would be willing and ready to make whatever decisions that you would have us to make in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.